Jeez. 2.4%.
Your commissioner, you're on.
All right, thank you, Darrell. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting for a work session today on case number PU 13-136. It is Friday, September 19th, approximately 10 a.m. I have no opening comments. Commissioner Chrisman?
I have no opening comments either.
Okay, I'll turn it over to the portfolio holder, Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. Well, at the last work session, we had asked, we had talked about a number of different options and possibilities with this permit and corridor certificate, and we have before us a draft order that has a couple different options and scenarios in it. I've gone through the order. There's just a few things that I have some suggestions on, and I can work through most of them. They're just clarification. But I think the big issue is which option we want to take, and so maybe we should have you two kind of go walk through the options as you develop them in the order.
Before we start, either I need a minute. I thought that I had put that a copy of that in here, and I don't have it with
the draft order.
Yeah, does somebody have another paper copy of it?
Yeah, you can take Brian's. We can work off one.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
A couple
of
notes on it, but
no, I think I have the same challenge that Randy has.
As long as the note says "try to be nice," doesn't say "try to be nice to Commissioner Chrisman" or something like that.
It doesn't.
Then I think they're probably okay.
Keep rolling.
Okay. Did you have any other thoughts on how you want to proceed? Is it all right to have these guys go through what they've outlined?
I think that's the correct way.
Okay.
Basically what we did, went through the whole order, cleaned it up, you know, for the other stuff just for whatever. But the main thing we were working on was the potential options to deal with the lack of waivers for the five residences within 500 feet of the pipeline and the analysis of whether there was a reasonable alternative to avoiding them. First option we laid out in the order was with approval of the pipeline with the condition that Highland obtain the waivers from these residences. The second was an analysis finding that there was no reasonable alternative and they could have the pipeline there without the waivers. And the third was trying to deal with what we call the Keister property, which is the only residence outstanding that actually signed an easement because the pipeline is on that property. So basically, what we understood from the last work session was, you know, one of those options, or those are basically the options we had going forward with it, and we tried to lay out as much as we could from the record for each of those options. And just for the commission's review, comment, any additional thoughts, and try to get some direction where to take this towards a final order.
So I'll turn to my colleagues. See if either of you have strong opinions. I know where I'm going on this project, but wondering if you guys have some thoughts that you'd like to weigh in with.
Well, and which one specifically? On just that one we just talked about, or I mean,
well, on the options. There's three options. The option to that Mitch just laid out. The three options laid out in here: approve with the condition that Highland obtain the waivers, okay. Approve with no, that and say there's no reasonable alternative, or approve and find that they need to get the four waivers, but the one waiver where there is their landowner signed an easement, the easement would basically, we would have the option of determining that the easement is the equivalent of a waiver.
Well, I guess for me, maybe, I guess here's what I'm thinking is, when did we just get this draft? I just saw it yesterday, day before?
Wednesday.
Yeah, so Wednesday's Friday. Maybe what we could do is just make sure that everything except those 3 points is good in the order, because I don't think I'm prepared. I want to spend some more time with the council just individually before I would throw in one way or the other. But if you have your thought, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I just, right now, I wanted to make sure everything else in the order is good. And then I wanted to talk to council offline.
Okay. Mitch or Brian, could you, the one question I had on was on page 7. It's the third option, basically, where the highlight says that highlighted area. Could you clarify that for me, what you're describing there?
Yeah, that's the Keister property. That's the one who did sign an easement.
Right.
So the residence is within 500 feet of the pipeline. That's a separate issue than the easement. As I understand the testimony from the hearing, that pipeline was placed kind of with the help of the landowner and the location by that landowner. But an easement and a waiver aren't necessarily the same thing. They may be, depending on the language of the easement. But with the way the pipeline is, this Keister property is located in the same general area as two other of the residences within 500 feet. So I don't think...
And have those been signed?
No. So I don't think we could say there's no reasonable alternative for the Keister property, and I hope I'm saying that right, but there... Or I don't think we could logically say there's a reasonable opportunity... reasonable alternative for the Keister property, but no reasonable alternative for the other two properties that are basically right next door to it. So that option was kind of the one where we were thinking we might want to deal with the property that signed the easement differently than the ones who did not sign waivers. And if we were to say, like, if you look at the map, it's late filed exhibit 5. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, that's
you,
what I
you can see mine. Love. But this property here is the Keister property. And these are two other ones within 500 feet. So I didn't think it was logical to say there's a reasonable alternative, no reasonable alternative for these two, but they're, or no reasonable alternative for number 5, but a reasonable alternative for 3 and 4. Just because,
well, if we were
so
going to find that there was no reasonable alternative and that the pipeline should be where it is, we wouldn't exclude them anyway, would we?
Right. If we find there no
it'll
reason,
no
it,
reason
it all is, then there's no difference between whether they sign an easement
right.
or did not sign a waiver. But if we go with the option 1 requiring the waiver, it's hard to distinguish the Keister property from number 4 and number 3, except we could add the condition that depending on the circumstances and language of the easement, it may be sufficient to constitute a waiver by basically agreement of the Keister owners to
right.
the location of the pipeline.
And we wouldn't be getting into whether there's a reasonable alternative or not in that situation.
We would be getting, in that situation, we would find that no reasonable alternative has been shown based on this record like it's laid out in there, and that as a condition of approval, they need to get the waivers from these 5 residences.
Okay. And that we would consider them submitting the easement and determine, after looking at that language, whether that could substitute as a waiver.
Yes.
But we wouldn't even automatically be saying that's a waiver. We'd just be saying we need to look at it and see if there's some conditions included there that would suggest that they knew this was coming or whatever.
Correct.
Some of the thing, I guess, that I was thinking about, Mitch, there's times I think I like to talk individual, but I think there's also that my colleagues might have the same kind of questions. What I'm trying to, and maybe today, I don't know that today's the best time to go through this, but do these around, look at these as the flip side. The legal risk, the precedent that would fall on any of this, if any, for each one of the alternatives, because that's kind of what I always look at is the eye of if somebody's going to appeal this thing. Then where we stand at, you know, I have my own inklings on some of this already, but I always like to look at the other side of it. So, and that's not something we normally put in the order, but it's something that we've talked about many times, you and I or whoever it might be, in different orders.
What I can tell you is...
Because I don't like saying, well, we've had this discussion, so you know where I'm
yeah.
coming from.
And what I'll tell you is this. You know, that's why, you know, in many work sessions you hear us focus on the record and what's
right.
in the record, what's in evidence in the cases. This issue of the avoidance area, being too close, whether there's a reasonable alternative. I mean, there's no guidance or case law on it. So,
but there are cases on it. We've had many cases where we've deemed something no reasonable alternative.
Yes. I don't think we've ever had a case where we found no reasonable alternative to being within 500 feet of a pipeline. I think every case we've ever had, the companies have obtained every waiver. So at least the ones I've dealt with, we've never addressed this issue where there's a residence within 500 feet and no waiver.
For pipelines.
Correct.
But for transmission lines, I do recall some cases there where you get into substations and you have, really, there's no choice because the subs point station is the anchor point.
And that's why we talk about the record, because the record is what's important to determine whether there is or is not a reasonable alternative. And that's just an objective standard. It depends on the facts and circumstances of each particular case. So I don't know that I could sit here and say, as a matter of law, you have to find one way or the other. It's just a matter of what the evidence convinces you of. And what we've done or tried to do is put what we think for either of those options would be supportable based on the record. You know, there's different weights, and there's always a chance a judge could disagree or not. But that's why we did it this way, because wanted you to be aware of what we think the record could support for any of the options. And it's also why I included the note about the Keister property in the other one, because it doesn't seem to support treating that differently based on the location of that property. The circumstances might be different of what would qualify as a waiver because there is an easement involved. But I don't know if I answered your question or not, but there's...
Well, so basically, you've provided both sides, all sides on this. So what Brian was sort of looking for is kind of laid out here. We can see this side, and we can sort of see the other side, and you guys have pulled from the record the facts to support those positions.
That's what we've tried to do, yes.
But what I was thinking, though, is the extension of that. Like, I'm just thinking back to this transmission case we did. There's lots of transmission law that says, if you find, you know, there's something, no reasonable alternative, that you can cite other cases when you get to that appeal stage. And so that, I knew that going into that decision, that we had a good set of facts, the good record. But if appealed, there's all kinds of other law out there that supports it, not just this record.
Right.
And so that's what I was, I guess, trying to think of a few, and maybe have need some time to look at it, too.
I don't know about...
Or is this the first, what do attorneys call that, first impression case?
I don't know of a case that's addressed, any sort of a case that's addressed this statute dealing with the rural residents within 500 feet issue. And really, it's going to be just a straight factual determination based on what's in the record. It's pretty clear what has to be established is that there was no reasonable alternative, and that's a...
Well,
based on the evidence out there.
And I think what we do here also sends a pretty strong message to companies either way. If we give them the waiver, we're sending the message that they don't need to do that, that we will in the end, if we deem it appropriate and find that they couldn't obtain another or there was no reasonable alternative, we'll give them the waiver. If we don't, because we don't think that they've shown that there's no reasonable alternative, then they'll know that they need to get these waivers ahead of time, and they need to be planning, not only if they think it's a gathering line, but if there's any chance that it might be a transmission line, they ought to be looking at what the requirements are for a transmission line and planning ahead for that. And so I think this case has the... will result in us sending a message to the pipeline development companies on what our expectations are.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about precedential effect and what we've done in the past, I mean, what usually happens with transmission pipelines is they come in and, you know, we're working on where to put the pipeline. The difference in this case, obviously, is that it's in the ground. And when... We always get the waivers, and if the company doesn't get the waivers, they usually move it so it's further than 500 feet from the residences because, obviously, it's not built yet. So I think this case itself really presents a unique factual scenario that, you know, I don't know how often it would necessarily come up again, but, you know, it certainly has some considerations involved where you're siting a pipeline that's already in the ground, and it doesn't necessarily meet all the criteria depending on the evidence presented.
Mm-hmm. If we chose alternative two, you know, regardless of what the motive was here, but wouldn't it set up a precedent then whereby companies would be kind of almost encouraged, instead of messing around with the problems that are the higher standards that are associated with building a transmission line, to just wait on doing the tanks, build it as a gathering line. You can run it. You don't have to worry about these 500-foot deals. And then once it's in the ground, the commission's already established a precedent that, that will let it go.
There's a potential it could be viewed that way.
Then on alternative three, you know, depending on how it's phrased, I really get your point that it doesn't, did you say it doesn't seem logical or right, or you said it's difficult to say that there's a reasonable alternative for the Keister property, but not a reasonable alternative for the other two properties. And, you know, phrasing it that way, just reasonable alternative versus not, yeah, it is hard to define it that way. But can't we elsewhere in here have a determination that the Keister property really doesn't fall into the category of an avoidance area because we deem the easement that the Keisters granted to be, for all intents and purposes, in this case, the same as the waiver?
I think that's possible. The problem with that is we don't have the easement. And I think what I noted was that we could put the condition that the easement may satisfy the waiver requirement, but we need to see it first. So I think that's really what option three was. It's option one, you need the waivers, but with the Keister property, you know, the easement may satisfy the waiver requirement depending on what it says.
Now I follow him.
That's how I kind of read that too, so glad to hear you specify that. Well, I've said this at the last work session, and my position really hasn't changed. I think that the company did not provide evidence at the hearing that there was no reasonable alternative, that they even tried to get it, you know, find a reasonable alternative. The best thing we have is the maps, which shows open farmland further away from the residence, at least the one residence in question, who the Vances. So I think without any evidence that there's, you know, that they tried to find a reasonable alternative and it doesn't exist, I'm not inclined to give them the waiver that they couldn't get from the landowner themselves. And especially in this case, I think it's especially challenging because the landowner was so clear ahead of time, even when this first line went in, that they didn't support the location of it. So the company knew full well that both under the gathering scenario and a transmission scenario, this landowner didn't want it that close to their house. So it was not a surprise for them. It was just not good planning.
I do think from that line of thinking, though, that I like that line of thinking better with the point being made that the easement from the Keisters could be submitted and that may be deemed similar to a waiver.
I agree, Grant. I agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, any other thoughts or
the only thing
comments?
I thought of just one quick question for Mitch and the other Brian. The option two of no reasonable alternative, you weren't able to dig out anything in the record anymore, like from the Game and Fish or from the ship or somebody saying that they thought moving the pipeline was a bad idea because of the additional disturbance?
I don't recall anything of that.
That was the one question I think I asked last time around, because if there was something from one of those agencies saying, hey, it's better to leave it there, that would have a lot of weight. You couldn't find anything in there?
I had never found anything. Basically, they just looked at the pipeline as it is and did their evaluation based on that, and they never looked at any alternatives to where that pipeline would be as to the environmental impact that may have.
Okay.
Julie, you don't recall anything like that, do you?
Okay.
Okay. Well, how would you like to proceed? I mean, I'd be ready to tweak, finalize this order. Why don't you guys clean it up a little bit more? I can work with you on the clarification that I think is somewhat confusing. And then maybe we send a revised draft around to everybody and
see if we want another with, work session. Or
I'd like to get this on the agenda for the next meeting personally. And I would like to develop the revised order to be option one with the easement potentially serving as a waiver.
So doesn't that mean option three?
I don't know.
It'd be a combination basically of option one and three. We could add that. I mean, that was in we can clean that up with the commission's direction.
And then we can send that around and see where everybody is. If there's any big concerns, we can always call a work session, but I would like to wrap this up and have it on the next meeting's agenda, if at all possible.
What we'll do from here, if it's okay with everyone, is what I'll cut out all the options, get it to the one that I understand the direction is going, circulate it to Commissioner Fedorchuk for her comments, and then go through with her and then circulate to everybody. Is that okay?
That sounds
the
perfect
portfolio
for me.
Holder.
Do you two gentlemen have time as soon as we're done here, since we're a little bit early, to the three of us to visit?
Yep.
That'd be good.
And I'll hope to get that to you by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. That sounds great.
And our next meeting, I think, October 7th or something. So
there's a little time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We just went
That's
yesterday.
Why I don't want it to fall back more. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Cool. That's it for me.
Ready?
No closing comments.
All right. We'll close the work session. Thank you all.
Thanks. Yep.